Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Langham guides us through the New Testament book of Revelation. Now to Pastor Chris.
Revelation 9 today, two great trumpets of judgment and a stubborn world that will not repent. What does it take to get someone to repent of their own free will? Have you ever attempted to fight someone else's stubbornness? Every parent knows this battle. I was always determined to out-stubborn my kids, but it's not easy. Come on, kid. All it takes to end this is a simple, humble apology. Just let it go. But the human heart has a stiff neck. God gave us free will, and we use it and abuse it. Repentance is a key word in the Bible, and here in Revelation 9. Repentance is a simple act. It means change your mind. That's it. Admit, I was wrong. And when you change your mind, God gives you a change of heart, which in turn changes your direction. See, it's more than saying sorry. Sometimes sorry is just regret, but nothing changes. Repentance is seen in actions. Now, why is this so important? Because repentance is our first step to salvation. That's why John the Baptist came before Jesus. John said, "Repent," then Jesus said, "Follow me." Change your mind about the direction you're going, then choose to follow Jesus. Do you ever wonder at the stubbornness of the Pharisees? They saw Jesus heal the lame and the blind, and all they cared about was that a guy picked up his mat on Sabbath. Luke 7 explains it this way. The Pharisees rejected God's purpose for themselves because they had not been baptized by John. What that means is they refused to repent. Stubborn hearts, stubborn minds that won't change. So how does God deal with it? How does he get a person to repent? Well, a lot of ways. Really, whatever it takes. 2 Timothy and Peter, several places tell us that God wants everyone saved, but he will not force us. So what does he do? In Romans 2:4, he uses kindness to lead us to repentance. But what if that doesn't work? Well, welcome back to the tribulation. Remember where we left off. God shakes the earth to help us let go of all the things that can be shaken, so that what cannot be shaken will remain. In chapter 9, the tribulation is on. Multitudes have been saved already, but will the rest of the people let go? Verse 1, the fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. The star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. This is the fifth out of seven trumpet judgments. Now we are clearly in the realm of the supernatural here, the demonic. The star that had fallen from the sky is likely an angel or demon, quite possibly Satan. Whoever he is given the key to a shaft called the abyss. The abyss is a jail for certain demons, locked up until this very time. Verse 2, when he opened the abyss, smoke rose from it like the smoke from a gigantic furnace. The sun and sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss, and out of the smoke, locusts came down on the earth and were given power like that of scorpions of the earth. These locusts are not normal bugs. They appear to be demons or demon-possessed, and the damage they inflict is insidious. But in verse 4, they were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any plant or tree, but only those people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. The mark, the seal of God, protects the people of God. We know the 144,000 have it, and my guess is that other believers have it too. Remember, you are sealed today with the Holy Spirit. Throughout the Bible, we see that God sets clear boundaries that plagues and demons cannot cross. In Exodus and Job, God is always in control. God protects. He allows a lot of damage. Just ask Job. But God sets the limits. Here, the seal marks God's witnesses, set apart, so that the world will know, as Peter says, that the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment. Meanwhile, the ungodly are tortured by the locusts, not killed, but bad enough to wish they were dead. The locusts are described, beastly looking, and their king is named in verse 11, Abaddon or Apollyon. It means destroyer. Remember what Jesus told us, that the enemy comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. That's it. That's his only plan. He doesn't have a nice day. But Jesus came that we might have life, and life more abundantly. 12. The first woe is past. Two other woes are yet to come. The sixth angel sounds his trumpet, and with this one comes a call. Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. And they were released to kill a third of mankind. The number of the mounted troops was twice 10,000 times 10,000. I heard their number. That means 200 million troops. That's more troops than the world has ever seen in battle, more than all the people in the world at John's time. However, China has claimed to have that many in their military, exactly 200 million. And some scholars think this verse is an attack from China heading across the Euphrates to Israel. I don't know. There are horses with riders, and John describes horses with heads like lions, shooting fire and sulfur from both head and tail. Now, this could be tanks or some kind of mechanized warfare, or it could be some kind of crazy beasts. Not sure, but what I really want you to see here is how mankind reacts. Demons released, people suffering, war destroying. And in verse 20, the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the work of their hands. They did not stop worshiping demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, idols that cannot see or hear or walk. Nor did they repent of their murders, their magic arts, their sexual immorality, or their thefts. They won't let go. Crazy, but they won't let go. Stupid, stubborn heart, just let go. They worship idols. That means any replacement for the true God. And look carefully at verse 21 at what they would not repent of. Their murders. That's hatred and violence. Their magic arts. Now, that can mean witchcraft, but the Greek word is pharmakeia, like the word pharmacy. In Greek, it referred to drug abuse. Sorcery often included hallucinogens. And their sexual immorality. Some people love their pleasure more than they love the God who created it, and they won't let go. And then their thefts. Hold on, you say. You can't judge me. Only God can judge me. Yes, exactly. I don't judge you. But God can and does. Listen, drug abuse, sexual immorality, theft, I was guilty on all counts. But God didn't save me to leave me where I was. He saved me to change me. That's repentance, change of mind, change of direction. I don't care if you were born that way. I don't care how it happened. We're all born sinners, so be born again. But I know some people won't let go. The porn, the weed, the boyfriend. What will it take to let it go? Remember the verse I shared from Luke 7 about Pharisees who refused to repent. Jesus adds some comments there. As the gospel goes out, but stubborn hearts won't listen, he compares it to children sitting in the marketplace and calling out to each other, "We played the pipe for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not cry." In other words, Jesus says, we tried everything. We played a happy song, God's kindness and joy, unconditional love, but you wouldn't dance. So we sang a dirge, a funeral march, losing a friend, facing the reality of death. But you didn't even cry. You refused to feel. Dance, cry, anything. Feel something. Something to change your perspective. Something to make you consider that maybe you're wrong. Maybe you should change your mind. Maybe it's time to repent.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener-supported, so thanks for giving. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries and pastor of Refuge Long Beach in Long Beach, California. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.